There's something I didn't check.
1 7 3 4 6
All right,
7 3 2 1 4 7 6 Charlie 3 2 7 8 9 7 7 7 6 4 3 Tango 7 3 2 Victor 7 3 1 1 7 8 8 8 7 3 2 4 7 6 7 8 9 7 6 4 3 7 6
Lock.
So I got a couple of updates. We've talked about the solar anvil before, and Suspicious Observer was showing some sun shit. And made an implication about some conspiracy theory shit, and I realized that's exactly what it was talking about.
Yep, me
yeah,
too.
So it's not a stargate.
Nope.
It's more of a vertically oriented filament, sort of causing like a vortex on the surface.
Yeah, the one that was the like it was stealing the plasma. That's the one that we thought it was like an alien spacecraft stealing plasma.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, like so. It's just a weird lineup of the way the plasma filaments are, like, magnetically charged or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it looked like the one was basically sticking out straight from the face of the sun and causing, like, a depression in the corona or the photosphere or whatever the fuck part of the sun we're looking at there.
Yeah, but if you went, like, 30 frames before that, it was, like, horizontal, so you could see all the different filaments.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because, like, whoever made that video could... I'm sure they saw what was before that, so...
Well, they probably, like, their eyes perceived the light, but whether or not they actually saw it in their brain...
Like, all of a sudden it lined up, and they noticed, like, oh man, look at that!
I think the primary thing for conspiracy theories is, people are very selective about which facts they select as truth and which they select as misinformation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like to throw as many conspiracy theories out as I can. Keeps people on their toes. And if they're wrong, cool. If they're not, you know, we gotta think, like, what if Big Tobacco back in the day had the same lawyers and the science backing as, like, fluoride? Where would we be today? Doctors would be prescribing cigarettes.
Well, they used to.
Yeah, they did.
Cigarettes give a shine to the tooth. Or no, wait, that's cocaine. Sorry. Well, the way I see it, like, if you hear our crazy ramblings and it gets you thinking for yourself, then
cool.
Doesn't really matter what anyone tells you, does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll eventually get there.
Yeah, think for yourself.
Have a discerning intellect, though, huh?
But a lot of conspiracy theories are, like, really cool ideas. Like, that solar anvil, that was a pretty sweet idea.
That's a cool idea, and, you know...
It got us talking, and I think that's how we came up with the pylons. Or something.
Oh, shit, is it?
I think it might have been.
See, there you go. Like,
yeah.
The other note here I have is DA-14 to 2012 radar image? Arthur C. Clarke. I don't know what I'm referring to besides that Arthur C. Clarke was a radar guy in the British military, I think. And he came up with the idea for a geosynchronous satellites by trying to bounce radar beams off the moon. But he needed a closer satellite to get a good image from it, so eventually we built them.
Wild.
But he was the one who thought of the idea, like, triangulating position based on something that doesn't move in space. Or, well, using it. People were doing that with, like, sextants and stars hundreds, thousands of years ago.
So, the economy's kind of in the shitter.
Yeah, that gives me some deja vu, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't you say that in the other one?
Probably.
I don't get why it has to be this way.
Yeah. You know, I can't say for sure, but for some reason I had this really strong feeling that when Bush left office, the debt was like $14 trillion. And I don't know. Like, for some reason I can't help but think that.
Clinton had a surplus going.
Yeah, and
like the debt was we were all owed a certain amount of money rather than we all owe a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But now, he also kind of altered the bank system, because before the banks could loan out 10 times what they had. So, like, if they had $10, they could loan out, what, $9?
That sounds a little ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's how it was. Or something. Fuck, now I gotta... damn it.
Well, the principle is sound. What did it change to?
Clinton made it, instead of 10, it was 100. So the banks could...
And then they did
more loans.
Fabricating money out of nothing.
Right, right. And then we had our surplus. And then we went to war.
Well, let's keep up with that con. That's brilliant.
Yeah. But, you know, it got to be the real estate bubble, I think is what they're referring to it as. Because, you know, the banks kept loaning out and loaning out, and then
but part of that is that they were insuring themselves against bad investments. So they had hedged their bets to such a degree that it was actually in their favor to have investments fail.
Mm. Go to collections and just take.
Yeah. Well, an agency... Well, they were selling... What was the fancy euphemism? Like,
I think it was just a loan. Like, that's all that was really... Like, any kind of loan was involved with it.
But they were, like, low return chance house mortgage bundles or something like that.
Yeah. And they categorized you by, like, your credit report.
Yeah, but then you had other companies... looking at like that bundle of loans that they made that were probably going to flop. Companies were in the business of insuring against those,
which were probably owned by the bank. Wow.
Owned by the first bank, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just sort of it's like a feedback loop in doing straight business.
I was kind of thinking of Whirlpool, because, like, we're all caught in it, and it's just spiraling downward.
Well, yeah, it'll eventually reach some kind of breaking point, right? Where it'll end up, like you'll have to be accountable. What is each dollar or Deutschmark or whatever representing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're printing just crazy amounts of money.
Well, like, our cash is credit-based. And I'm not saying that like gold would be any better, but for instance, when they downgraded the United States credit rating, like they're downgrading the Bank of the Treasury, and that is saying that then confidence in the dollar as a whole is lower, and since it's credit based, it's connected to confidence, and if nobody's confident in your money, then it's not worth anything.
No, wow.
So by a bunch of weird, probably old white people making decisions, they can ruin a currency.
And it, you know...
Not that it would be in their interest to do so, though.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just uncomfortable to think about stuff like that.
Well, you got to look at it, like, how does it matter to you?
I don't know yet.
I think... Well, when I think about self-reliance, I think about not needing money, mainly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when it comes to, like, labor strength, well, I'm still healthy enough.
Yeah.
If I got to dig a latrine to shit in, then I can, I guess.
That's a good way to look at it.
But there's like some things that I apparently need to live, like a hookup to the city sewer, can only be bought in dollars around here.
No.
And I guess I'm willing to participate in society, at least to that degree. I'm not going to go crazy off the grid.
No. Although that would be really sweet.
Have your own compost pile.
Even then, I'd still be connected to the internet. And yeah. Which would be cool to be like, I get all the energy I use to feed my computer from the land, or I am one with the earth.
My compost pile generates energy.
The Great Spirit allows me to browse 4chan.
That's a very kind Great Spirit you have.
Well, maybe not. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a double-edged sword. That's an interesting concept, like a god being like, yeah, maybe that, I just had a revelation.
No, yeah,
listen up, Christians. Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of knowledge. This is a giant metaphor for them getting on the internet. And they were immediately like, what the fuck? That their minds were just completely blown. And, you know, once you've seen accident photos and Japanese girls shitting on their own faces and a guy spreading his asshole 12 inches diameter, there's no going back to that blissful naivete of the Garden of Eden
thing.
Every time you see that squirrel running by, you know that it has an asshole. And if it was just a little smarter, it would want to stretch that thing. Why? I don't know. It's not our grace. It's God's grace. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
everything crumbled from there.
I was thinking about the idea of a multiverse and how there's an infinite number of Earths.
Right.
Why is ours so crappy?
Do you think we're the worst one?
We probably are at the very end of the line. We're pretty darn close.
I don't think it's the crappiest. Because the law of like bell curves and statistics states that we have to be somewhere in the middle,
yeah,
most likely.
I was thinking maybe towards the end of the middle.
So what's the worst one? Is it like in all good things? I think part two. Everything you've ever known, your whole civilization, it all comes down to this little pile of goo. Oh, nothing happened. But wait, maybe that's not the worst one, because maybe humanity is a much worse affliction to the universe than anti-reactive goo could ever be.
So we found a way to explore space before we found a way to clean up our act. Like, I saw a picture on, I think it was Facebook, that said that we're living on this planet like we have another one to go to.
Dude, we do.
Yeah.
So let's get our shit together.
And a weird science up a space whale named Lisa.
That's right. And they'll be sort of like hives of bees, so they're all girls. Mm-hmm. So we can name the second one Gracie, like from Star Trek 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Gracie's pregnant. But also, it'll mean that when they do have babies, they can determine its gender at the time of conception. Almost consciously.
Hmm.
And since we're building them, why not?
Yeah. The sky is the limit for a space whale.
We could make them brutal. There could be soldier space whales.
Whoa.
That just, like, secrete poison.
Bash into planets and dive through them.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
We were on such a peaceful tangent.
Yeah, space whales should be peaceful.
Yeah.
We can have attack koalas.
Like the Leviathans at Farscape. Muppets. They should have a vaguely Muppet. Like, anything that, you know, anything inside them that's interfacing with humans would have to, like, relate to us on some level, right? So they could have, like, humanoid-ish faces in the wall that are just, like,
that talk to us.
Yeah, there's...
It's conscious.
We're approaching an asteroid.
I was thinking, like, a psychic connection between.
Oh, cool.
And you're just chilling out, harvesting the potatoes, and the space feels like, hey, thanks, that feels really good. But he didn't say anything, he just told you through mind.
Yeah, so it's not even, like, the inner monologue, it's the actual physical sensation of the pleasure.
Yeah.
So as you're, like, ooh, farming up the space whale potatoes and mushrooms, you're like, oh.
It's like a good back scratching. A real good back scratching right there.
Holy shit.
And that's how you know if everything's going cool with the space whale.
Just had a frightening thought.
Hmm.
What if Earth is the space whale?
We're sorry, space whale.
We're just not, like, we're just so blinded in some kind of semi-psychedelic catatonic state because of the overwhelming sensual perceptions coming in at us. That, like, nothing that we're witnessing here is what it seems.
Yeah.
We're speaking into some kind of weird growth out of the space whale belly, and we're, like, in some kind of dream-like stasis state while it goes to deposit us on some Earth-like world to restart humanity.
Whoa.
Copyright 2013, Chris Patterson. Wait, I think Gene Roddenberry already did that.
Oops.
Earth 2 or whatever. Well, no. Not quite. I think on that they had aliens to deal with. It's always about diplomacy or some shit.
Yeah. There's never a free spot.
Or is there? I mean...
Musical Planets. With the Benny Hill theme.
Yakety sax. Man, if I ever get to be the first one to chart a solar system, I'm definitely naming a planet Yakety sax. And its moons would be like Yakety Sax 1, Yakety Sax 5.
Throw some letters in there, like Yakety Sax A.
Well, you could name the star Yakety Sax, then the planets would be Yakety Sax Alpha. And the moons would be Yakety Sax Alpha 4, or whatever. See, we could be doing this. Beam me up, Scotty. So, if we're gonna do this, we need to fix our stupid economy, right?
No, we gotta make, like, it so everything's free so that we can afford it. But how do we fix the economy?
Well, it seems to me that there's a huge portion of the people participating in it that are just trying to manufacture the system into making them money.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we convince them to point their attention, say, upward? So instead of gambling on the confidence of a particular corporation, gamble on the confidence that there's a certain value to resources that we can go grab. Like, the entire planet's worth of metals in the asteroid bell.
Yeah,
as an example right off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, it might take a little while for it to see revenue, but, you know, you get like 8 or 9 of those little things cruising out there, like SCVs from StarCraft.
You could. I heard about one, I think I was reading about it. I hope I was reading about it, because that's what I remember. They would build a moon base, right? Then they would send these little, like, lander things to land and then, like, secure themselves on the asteroids. And they have thrusters on them. Mm. And they fly the asteroid into lunar orbit. And then a bunch of people or other robots break it into chunks and...
That's a sweet idea.
Yeah, refine it, send it back to Earth. It'd be a very regular kind of transport path from Earth to the moon.
Yeah, like SCVs.
Those had people in them, right?
Yeah, I think so. And one of the, like, the little screenshot, one of the guys picking his nose.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here. What? No problem.
I think my favorite part of those games was that if you clicked on the guy enough, they'd say something different.
I don't remember any of the ones from StarCraft. Holy shit.
And I remember the fire bats. Like, he's
oh,
like,
yeah.
You trying to get invited to my barbecue? Do you smell something burning?
Oh, yeah. They had a bunch of Fahrenheit 451 references, too.
Yeah, and like Alien. Aliens with the drop ship.
Shit. If you look at the signs for the Badlands colonies, it says Marsara, which is the... Or not Marsara. It says... Whatever the one in Aliens is, it's exactly the same name. Marsara is the name of the planet in the game, I think.
Oh, so the little civilian complex thing that they... Rated?
Yeah, the one with the atmosphere processor. And I think the alternate street sign that you can look at is says, like, atmosphere processor 15 kilometers or something like that.
I never noticed that. That's pretty rad, though.
Therefore, the Zerg are definitely xenomorphs. You know, I've been looking at Colonial Marines, the new game they made, and I keep hearing bad reviews of it. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get really scared and shit myself in the dark. But I heard about it in regards to PlayStation 4. Have you heard anything about that?
To me, it kind of looks like a regular PlayStation 3. Four tacked on instead of a 3.
Yeah.
And then we got the Xbox 720 coming out soon.
Seriously?
I don't know if the name is Foundation, but I have heard that on, like, announcement type things. Like, when I saw, it was, like, the release, the trailer for the PS4, like, E3 or whatever it is or something. Some sort of computer seminar or,
show. CES?
Yeah. And then
I think the Xbox 360 should be the same as the original Xbox. Because if you go 360, you're right back where you began. They could have pulled the wool over all our eyes. I heard the PlayStation 4 will have something called the PlayStation Eye, which is a webcam kind of thing, but it doesn't turn off.
Creepy.
Yeah, the idea being that, like, you're playing an action game and you're making some funny face or something, and, like, by default it'll record the last round of your gameplay, and you could, like, combine it with that. Be like, oh.
Yeah, the Kinect did that.
That means... Okay, day one, somebody's gonna pull their dick out on that. Probably several million people. So that means that eventually, maybe not day one, but eventually, whatever you're doing on the PlayStation, no matter what, some amount of resources is devoted to facial recognition of a cock and then filtering that out. I just don't have time for that shit. I bought a computer, not whatever the fuck that machine is.
Yeah.
Some kind of reverse porn machine. Also, the controllers would have a social button. No doubt for posting something to Twitter while you play. Or
just got killed playing Modern Warfare 9.
I'm just going to get a Super Nintendo. Fuck it.
Go back. Old school.
Going back.
Nintendo.
I'd rather modify that to somehow use an Ethernet cable and play over the internet.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be pretty cool. Maybe you could, like... Oh, you know those Arduino things? maybe you don't. They're a little electronic device that you can program with your own code. They have an Ethernet port on them, or some of them do. You hook that into the controller port in the second one, mm-hmm. and then you coordinate with your computer.
There you go.
You get your friend's input coming over the internet. Lag would be a bitch.
Latency.
It wouldn't even line up. Like, say you were playing Mortal Kombat. Like 500 milliseconds after you press it. Although then, how do you see the screen? Shit. Webcam. Use your PlayStation Eye. Oh, wait, but Liu Kang looks like a cock. Filtered.
I've heard a couple times that the only way to save the economy is like with a food or like yeah food
a feast
well kind of like
bread and circuses.
I guess an advancement in food processing, advancement in agriculture, or advancements in energy are like the only ways that we can probably save our economy.
Well, I've heard that a lot of the empty space in like eastern Wyoming and Montana has the same amount of wind power as several metropolises. So, like, you set up wind farms there, and they generate a city's worth of power every day or so. A big city, a metropolitan city.
Yeah. So, like, Chicago.
Metropolitan, whatever the word is.
LA and New York and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know, like, does that mean Seattle? Does that mean LA? There's kind of a difference, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Also, there's a bunch of fucked up shit about agriculture in this country, like... Some bizarre farm subsidies. I think there's some places where people are paid not to grow things or not to do as well. Something like that.
Man, that's weird.
Ugh. Shouldn't we just grow the shit out of everything?
Yeah.
And then sell what we don't eat?
Yeah.
And then continue to do that?
You know, I've been really, really digging on that idea for like the, heat box in the attic to produce energy through a fan.
The convection thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any insights on how to achieve it?
No, just what we talked about before.
Because I don't know how to, like, how to actually get enough power going, like, to spin a significantly sized turbine. Just from convection current.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it should be pressurized, so you have, like, a sealed greenhouse effect and can control the air pressure in there.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Because you could compress the air in there. That's more air.
Mm-hmm.
It absorbs the radiant energy coming in and gains energy and starts moving faster.
Mm-hmm.
Moves out the turbine. I don't know, it would be hard to... Like, if you just hooked up a compressor to it, you'd end up just blowing everything out.
Yeah, the air has to sit in there and warm up.
Seems like a remarkably slow generator.
Well, you know, anything is helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for increasing efficiency that way. But, if there are way... It seems like if you could move it around very strictly, move the air around very strictly, you could get a lot more out of it.
Mm.
Like, maybe if it was, like, hitting a solar panel, which then has an air cushion behind, or like a cordoned off, sealed area of air behind it. So as the solar panel generates electricity, its inefficiency generates heat. The heat moves the air through the pipe that's behind it. Into our weird system that eventually would speed it up enough to move a small turbine and recapture a lot of that inefficiency.
So hot air rises.
Right.
So cold air falls. If...
if you, sort of.
Yeah. If you had, like, two tunnels in this thing, and, like, the top one, so they're on top of each other, and I'm just imagining a pyramid with that's split in half down the middle, and, you know, as the top half would be dark, so the air would be heated up or warmed in the bottom, and then it just kind of go through this circle.
I think you're referring to a Stirling engine.
And I'm pretty sure that's what you were just saying, right?
Pretty much. That's the kind of principle we need to exploit in order to do that. And check out this animation.
Wow.
So you have on the lower piston, there's a heat sink drawing energy out of the compressed volume. And on the upper one, there's a heater delivering energy into it, and that's the heat energy is what's driving the locomotion of the engine. But what we're trying to do is use the locomotion of the convection current to turn a turbine to generate electricity.
Well, does it have to be a huge turbine, or
it has to be of reasonable size to be worth our while, I guess.
What if we had lots and lots of little turbines?
Like a whole bunch of little pinwheels?
Yeah.
You could configure something like that. It'd be a whole bunch of little electromagnets. And I think the smaller those get, the less potential there is, like the less efficient it is, because you're converting electricity into magnetism.
Okay, so if we
have it resist,
if we found the proper size, the right equilibrium, we had like four or five chambers.
It would depend on like how fast we could get our artificial wind going.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, maybe the smaller tubes might move the air faster, or at least feel like it.
Yeah, like, well, it would increase the pressure. I don't know.
There's only one way to find out.
Materials might come into the equation too. Like, if it's something that's extremely insulated, so won't heat up, or, well, it's the same temperature as the air, but won't, like, extract heat out of it. Then the air would maintain more energy, and hopefully that energy would get delivered into the turbine eventually.
What if, instead of on top of a house, we put it on a, like, a southern-facing wall, so it was, like, up and down instead of flat? Would that do anything, you think? So we have, like, this big...
So, like, exploit all as much of the radiant energy of the house as you could, whatever the sun is throwing at it.
Yeah.
You gotta build it.
You could even wrap it around the house, so the north side is the side that cools it. Because it's always shady over there. Usually here. I mean, for me, my house, it's always shady.
Okay, try this. We have two things on the walls, and they circulate air. One of them's on the side that gets the most radiant energy and stays the warmest. The other is on the other side, and we configure it to stay as cool as possible. Then they come into a central chamber and mix, producing the wind that then pushes, like, right there is where they're actually creating
so
the vortex.
Ooh, not bad.
So you would have, like, a circular thing containing the paddle or whatever of the turbine. One of the intakes, or one of the... Yeah, intake? Is cooled air. One is warm air.
They
have to spin it, mm-hmm. and the only way they can escape is out through the...
So we could put the turbines top. All the way up through that.
Yeah, to a certain extent, until the air loses sufficient energy to not be able to turn them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you could taper it and get it down, like, just yeah. reduce the size.
Yeah, get that
if you can
back.
Calibrate it good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have little tiny computers that we put in our cars that adjust the fuel mix going to the engine like 1,000 times a second. I think we can manage this.
Yeah.
The tricky part would be maintaining the heat differential.
Keeping it warm, so like at night it wouldn't work.
Well, you could have heaters that would compensate, hopefully. I don't know.
Well, you know,
like if... Okay, it's generating electricity, right? And mm-hmm. when we use it, we convert a lot of that back into heat. You know, like our computers get hot, our lights get hot, everything that we use. If you can harness some of that, you can keep the pipe system on our what on the southern wall is what we're saying in this mm-hmm. scenario.
Yeah.
Warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe go underground and build like an underground radiator system for the other side. So then, you know, the radiant energy hitting the ground only penetrates so deep, and below that, it's colder.
Right. Not bad.
And maybe if you had, say you were living by a body of water, you could run it out into the lake.
Is that what they do with nuclear energy?
Well, it is now.
Yeah.
That's not exactly cold water either.
Yeah.
I mean, it is sometimes.
Well, you know, I don't know if we talked about it, but I think we did, but here in Washington, there's like 6 cooler tanks that are
yeah.
like leaking or something wild
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Hanford's storage tanks are beginning to break down.
Fuck.
Shit happens.
It's made it to Washington.
Well, we used to produce all the plutonium that we used to make nuclear weapons.
Yeah, because we're bad.
Hanford did, and not we. The royal we.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't we harvest some of that energy? That can be readily made into electricity. At least from a particle physics point of view, I think.
Hmm.
Right? It's all gamma radiation. So we need some kind of bizarre solar cell that absorbs gamma rays instead of visible light.
Yeah, why are they working on that? You know, I heard something about a zombie cell that increases like efficiency or something like that, like some scientists developed.
That sounds increasingly improbable.
Yeah, I think it was on the Hyper Report.
Zombie cell?
Yeah.
Like
a dead cell came back to life. Reanimated cells.
Oh. That's weird.
Yeah.
I still doubt it.
I know, me too, but it's, you know, something to talk about.
Well,
I think it was yesterday's, actually.
I think it would be way easier to emulate a cell than to actually build one or reanimate a dead one.
Yeah.
Like, you could have a nanorobot that just sort of... what is a cell to the other cells but just the membrane and anything it secretes? Right?
So, a two-dimensional world.
Why couldn't it be a robot on the inside?
Yep.
I mean, how is messenger RNA and all that crazy-ass shit, mitochondrion, how is that any different, really, at that level?
Probably isn't.
So, eventually, I mean, say you got cancer of the colon, and they had to cut the whole thing out, but they replaced it with this weird nano lattice of robotic cells that emulate colon cells and do everything that the colon cells were doing, except for, you know, being cancerous.
That'd be okay.
And you poop just the same way.
Yeah.
And then another part breaks down, and you replace it again until you're just one weird, giant, nano-lattice android thing with a human brain floating in it.
Until that breaks down, too.
Until your nerves start breaking down, yeah, and then they're emulating your neural network.
Then what
are you? Still you?
Or an emulation?
Yes, are you an emulation? Are we all emulations of ourselves? The real me is working a tedious job with this cube on its desk of all of this emulated. Because in some kind of bizarre Big Brother 1984 world, they've convinced us all to live in our cubicles with emulations of our real lives, running countless of them. Every permutation of our lives simulated. So what's the point of leaving your cubicle? And then it zooms out again, and that whole cubicle is an emulation on somebody else's desk, and it zooms...
Whoa. And then you're caught in a computer loop.
And then the movie ends. Everyone's just like, what just happened?
So, the universe is crazy huge, and we're crazy tiny. But there's still crazier tiny things around us and making us up. What if the universe is a technology, kind of like Tron was a video game? But I don't know. Like, I don't know if us being a technology would make us kind of like the Matrix, where it's just a simulation. But I wasn't really going with a simulation thing. I was kind of going with like an artificial intelligence. That just happened to, you know, this
like
was
a thought.
Well,
or like,
I don't know, like some sort of like another race's technology, and you know, they're outside the universe. I don't see how it's hard to believe that there's something bigger around it. You know, it's like if we punch through the side of the universe, what's
but
there?
Where's the limit?
I don't know. Maybe we just go into another level of, you know, maybe that's the fourth dimension, is when we get up and, like, we pass through the universe and we get into, like, you know, another... What's the smallest thing that we know of now?
A quark, maybe?
Okay, so we get out to a quark and then we work our way up and then all of a sudden we're, like, you know, coming out someone's elbow into a giant...
Are you used to wash... I have a race of people on my back hair. No!
No, no, no. In every quark in your body, there's a little tiny universe within
the
quark.
Like a fractal kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have here a box containing our own universe.
Man.
Well, what... Okay,
but... That didn't really go along with what I was saying, but like a technology done by something kind of on that same aspect, where it might not be a cell
like
we come
we're the result of some crazy ass hyper smart species.
Yeah,
you know, doing a like our Higgs boson experiment.
Yeah,
but on their level, they're creating an entire universe and observing how it unfolds.
Whoa, whoa.
See, since it's a micro universe, like, you can't even make like a spatial relationship to it. Like, it can be in the palm of their hand or not, or would I mean some of the multiverse theory is like a multiverse where or a parallel universe where a physical constant is different. How would the universe be different if pi was 2.985762133 instead of 3.149 whatever?
I think the pyramids would be a different size. but...
Well, wouldn't, like, the diameters of atoms would be a different size.
Because that's the size of pi?
Well, just because it's a part of the fundamental nature of something that's circular.
Oh. Okay.
Like, yeah, like, the radius of a given atom would have a different relationship to its volume.
Well, there'd be more space.
Maybe. Maybe certain compounds would have to be significantly larger, or incapable of existing at all. What if one of those was an amino acid? And then...
The pile of goo does nothing. Goo.
That's a Q reference, right?
Yeah.
But also, now I'm thinking about, like, Patton. When you put your hand into a pile of goo that used to be your best friend's face, you will know what to do.
He kind of has a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like in Aliens. Michael Biehn never shot Bill Paxton. I can't get over that. You're supposed to shoot him. You let him take him.
Yeah.
Also, one of the characters was named Spunkmeyer. and that mental image is utterly disturbing to me. Oh, I fell into a Spunkmeyer.
Bill Paxton was in Stripes.
What?
Yeah, he's. I think he was uncredited, but he's like some sort of. I think he's like a soldier running while they're running or something like that.
He seems to have played a lot of like low-level officers for a while there.
Yeah, he was in the. He was in Weird Science.
Yeah. Yeah. Like as the workout guy.
No, he was the brother.
Yeah, like he would.
The military,
he was always like
military brother.
Lifting weights and shit.
Yeah.
What do you do today, butthead?
Butthead. Ah, the 90s.
The dream of the 90s? That was pretty funny. I remember living through that.
they were usually like DOS. Or something like that. Like, maybe, like, maybe Windows 3.1.
QBasic, yeah. To write Lisa. See, that's the problem. The first version of the space whale is just gonna be, like, penis, 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 penis. I just, ugh, God.
And then we'll have to figure a way to kill it. To put it out of its misery.
Yeah. I guess it is truly impossible to be a scientist and be ethical. In the end,
I got to destroy this abomination.
You pull out a chrome 9mm. Then you put it in your own mouth.
Well, then who will carry on the work? We can't do that.
Well, this is at the end, like, this is the end of your life, and you're like, oh, my life's work.
I just can't get it right.
Just created a monster. I'm a failure. I have to destroy everything.
Okay, I can kind of see that. Like, if you worked your entire life to make a space whale,
it's
fail.
It's the alternate ending to Young Frankenstein. The one where Gene Wilder hangs himself. We're going to end up, like, having to animate our episodes.
I was thinking of doing something like that with YouTube. Like, put it on YouTube.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, weird animations.
Of space whales being executed by their disgruntled... I picture it in my head as sort of Marlon Brando in the Island of Dr. Moreau. Like, morbidly obese and allergic to the sun. I will succeed in the space whale. Meanwhile, that, like, that's me in this story, and you would be Val Kilmer giving all of the perverted space whales meth.
Okay.
As they're just, like, beaching themselves on a daily basis, trying to get injected with their fix.
Now go be just, free.
Yeah, you just roll up on them and, like, look into their eyes, and it's, like, a big old horse eye that's all sad and, like, single tear. Sort of like when Captain Picard's getting assimilated by the Borg. One day you snap and you shoot all the fucked up ones, and then you murder me, and you jump in the only successful space whale and shoot off to the star. Copyright 2013, Chris Patterson.
Success.
Success. Kapla.
It's real! It's a fake! Don't you understand? It is real! It's a fake! It's real!
Fucking A. Mm. How about a song for this episode and wrap it up?
What was the Benny Hill theme?
Yakety Sax.
Gonna do Yakety Sax.
Gotta do Yakety Sax.
I'm down.
Anything else? You want to do the email while I look it up?
No, I think you should do the email.
Because you don't remember it?
Yeah. It's probably really easy.
It's cryptodome at 4040ad.com.
Oh, yeah.
You can always leave internet. You can always leave a comment at the webpage too. Tell us how dumb we are, how great we are. Tell us how we can improve our program.
Correct erroneous information.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I know some shit could use some discussing.
Yeah.
For more than just our minds.
Yeah.
So we made it to 90 downloads on one episode so far.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Hooray for the Cryptodome.
Hooray for a slow fucking computer, piece of shit. Not even downloading porn.
Aww. This is a sad computer. The Louisiana sinkhole continues to grow. Apparently some chemtrails blocked out a black hole.
What the fuck does that mean?
It was like a little black hole or something like that.
The one that sent the meteor crashing to Earth and diverted asteroid DA-14-2012-AD-69.
Yeah, something like that. You know, there was a second meteor that hit Cuba, too, that same day.
Oh, shit. Why wouldn't we hear about that one in the mainstream media? Because it was an alien spaceship.
Was there any coverage of the Russia meteor?
Oh, fuck yeah.
No?
Mostly, like the national news being like, look at how ridiculous the Russians are because they all use dashboard cameras.
I think that's really cool.
Well, they showed the reason why, and it was like insurance fraud attempts. Mm-hmm. They show this guy, like, the car is completely stopped, and he's like, honking on the horn as the guy is walking very slowly in front of him. The guy then, like, steps on the bumper and steps up onto the hood. And, like, rolls over, and is like, oh! Stands up, walks away, and is like, my leg is so hurt from when you hit me, I'm gonna sue you. And apparently this shit is common. But then it catches all kinds of, like, YouTube fodder, of
Dude,
course.
Crash compilations and things like that.
All right, I think I have it. Feel this all-organic podcasting style. Feel my lag.